Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am speaking with a great sister from our community, Deborah Bush Wright. So many hyphenations there, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
So tell me a little bit about, where did you grow up?
I actually grew up right here in West Haven, Connecticut. Although I didn't go to school there, I went to Sacred Heart in New Haven. And then high school, I was in Milford at Laurelton Hall.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your parents.
I am the blessed eldest child of David and Janie Bush. My father passed away 10 years ago, but, you know, his legacy lives on with me and my sister and my daughter and my nephew. And then my mother, Janie Bush, who worked in the healthcare system as a dietary supervisor for years at St. Rafa's Hospital and some of the different convalescent homes in the area. And now she's retired and living her best life.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood with your mom. Any good memories, good stories, anything you can remember?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to say I had the perfect life. Oh, but it was definitely close. It was the love that any child could hope and wish for. Two loving parents, my crazy baby sister running around. We were just doing anything and everything. Most of the time we were in church. All the time we were in church at Bethel AME Church in New Haven over on Gulf Street. And so a lot of times we just, you know, what's that say? You live the life of Riley, you know? Go to school, get that education, because that's something that was honed into us constantly. And then, you know, we had our fun with our friends, and we were in church. We were at all different programs, and then we were singing in different choirs. So, you know, we just had that basic kid's life.
What's one thing that you got from your mother that you carry with you from job to job, circle to circle, day to day?
Know that she instilled in me that I can only be the best that I can be. No one can stop me from being me. I am the best me that I can be. So, you know, she continues to motivate and push and, you know, make sure that I understand. Yeah, you're going to have some down days every once in a while. You're going to have some challenges every once in a while. But you're going to have more better days than worse days. So no matter what, keep God first and keep moving, keep pressing.
And you sound like you're a good student because you say learning, because you're still learning from her, aren't you?
Absolutely. Every day. As much as I just, you know, sometimes we don't want to claim that we got certain things from our parents, but the older I get, the more I realize I am so much like my mother. Growing up, I thought, oh, no, I'm just like my father. And the older I get now, the closer I get to that next decade, the more I realize I really am my mother's child.
You speak of your father in high esteem.
I am a daddy's girl.
Well, you're the first, so.
I'm the first. My father was the educator. He was a vice principal in the Milford school system for about 28, 30 years at least. And he, if anything else, everybody that you talk to today will remember Mr. Bush from Milford. You say anything, if I even mention my maiden name, and they said, wait a minute, were you related to David Bush? Absolutely, that's my father. Oh my God, I miss Mr. Bush. He was so fair. And I think I get a lot of that from him. he just says, you know, treat everybody the way you want to be treated. And as long as you do that, you'll never have to worry about anything.
Hmm. And you take those ethics. And how important is it to have that foundation, you know, growing up in life that you can always lean on in those tough times?
It's one of those things where when you sit back and think about something like that, you know that you do the best you can by doing the best by everyone. So you don't worry about sleeping at night. You don't, you know, have that anxiety of what's around the corner, what's getting ready to come after you. If you've treated everyone the way you want to be treated, then you're good. You just continue to keep moving forward. That's my constant theme. Just keep moving forward. Make your mess your message. You know, make your trials your triumphs. So that's how I do. That's the, you know, when I get crazy news about something, I don't lament over it. Instead, I figure out, okay, what's the problem? How am I going to fix it? How do I move on from here? How do I go forward? So an example of that would be 10 years ago, right after my father passed, I found out that I was going to have to go on dialysis because my kidneys were failing. So instead of losing my mind about, you know, oh my God, I'm going to have to go on dialysis. What am I going to do? Yeah, no, it was okay. Let's go. Let's start. How do we do this? Where do I go? My doctor looked at me like I was crazy. I had three heads. And he's like, no. Well, let's just wait. I'm going on vacation when I get back. No, we're not going to do that because I don't feel well. I want to feel better. So if that means I have to start dialysis, then let's go. Let's start the process. And he's like, well, all right, fine. And I did. 5 years later, in the midst of COVID, July 2nd, 2020, I get a phone call that says, hey, we found a match for you. We can get you a kidney. And oh, by the way, it's from a living donor. So, you know, after the boohoo, snot and crying, yeah, it's like, let's go. No, we're going to schedule it. You don't even have to be here in the next half hour. Relax yourself. We scheduled it for the next week. 7 days later, I was up at Hartford Hospital, walking into the operating room to get my kidney transplant. It's like one of the made-for-movie stories. And I was literally on the operating table, laughing, joking, talking with the nurses and doctors, waiting for my kidney to be flown in from my living donor that was in the Midwest. You can't make this up.
Wow. That's what it is that you need to sustain yourself in life, is those nice taught values that you were given to you by your parents.
Yep.
You say Mr. Bush is very well known. Anywhere you go, they mention, especially if they know the last name. What's a story from your childhood that you'll never forget that you and your father shared?
So growing up, and I'm going to take you back to the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, my father had a light blue Gremlin. And I think it was like around the 78 Gremlin, 3-speed. And it was time for me to learn how to drive. And he said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to, I'm going to go on a road test. We're going to teach you how to drive. I'm running to my mother's Cadillac because that's what I think we're taking. He was like, oh, no. Come on, we're going in this. You need to learn how to drive a stick. I'm paralyzed. Because I'm like, a stick? No. So it was fine in the beginning because we were driving on the post road. Although it was at that point in time that I realized how many hills there really are on the post road. Little divots and all that. Okay. But I got through it. We're going around. Okay. Then he says, turn left. The left was Malloy Road in front of Frankie's. The way I almost died. I thought I was going on a roller coaster ride, and I forgot that I'm the one driving. Here's my father in the car. I turn. I'm like in screaming mode internally, and he's screaming at me physically, shift, shift, because I hadn't put the car in second gear, but I'm trying to go up the hill. Yeah, no. But at least today I know how to drive a stick shift.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario here with Deborah Bush Wright. Let me get all those names because, you know, this is West Haven royalty for those who don't know. With that said, let's go back because you are the oldest of five?
Two.
Just two of you.
It's just two of us.
Also, yeah. Tell me a little bit about little sis and you. Did you guys get along? Was it super competitive?
Well, everybody should know by now that I am the older sister of 94.3's gospel sister Gwen. So therefore, you know, people know her. A lot of people don't necessarily know me. So then when they meet me now and they look at me like, I've seen you before, I know you. And then I say, I'm sure you've heard of Sister Gwen. And then the relief comes. Oh, my God. Yes, I know who you are. But yeah, growing up, we were the typical sisters who just got on each other's nerves. But when I tell you, nobody could touch her and no one could touch me. Or you had a true fight and battle on your hand. And, you know, we are as close can be. Mm. You know, and so close we kind of live next door to each other. So, yeah, we're close.
Wow. You went to Sacred Hearts, which was a Catholic school.
On Columbus Avenue, yeah.
In the day, okay.
Yes. Back in the day.
Across from Lehigh.
Lehigh was here, yes.
Now Yale's, one of Yale's campuses. How was it being in a colloquial school? Because they don't really exist as much as they used to.
They really don't. I did not have that choice growing up. It's like, no, this is where you're going to school. So I was just so used to the whole Catholic school life, the uniforms, the masks. I mean, we were in church all the time over the weekend anyway, so doing it during the week for school was nothing. The nuns and the teachers were, you know, the back in the day, they were, you know, the typical nuns with the rulers and the habits and, you know, trying to be really, really harsh. But at the same time, they would, you know, give their right arm for you. So they were a true foundation in my whole education level. And they were the ones that mentored me and encouraged me and pushed me to continue to climb and continue to get educated, which, you know, and my sister was right behind me. So that's why, you know, now I have my master's, she has her doctorate. It was all about education in our household. So I have that background from Sacred Heart to Laurelton Hall, because then I went to Laurelton Hall for high school. And, you know, that's kind of where that motivation and that mentoring came from.
Pouring into your education because it wasn't cheap. But then again, your parents were in education, so they knew the value of it.
Correct. Correct.
Would you guide somebody or recommend a parent now in this day? Because, you know, the system is the system, you know, and not everyone has access to the education. What kind of, you know?
I think most people, as I found out raising my child, earlier, that it doesn't necessarily have to be a monetary thing. the children in public schools can have the same type of education and motivation and mentoring that children in, you know, private schools can have. It is all about the support system that you have. It is all about those that are in the background, making sure that you get what you need to be able to continue and to be able to succeed in life. So I poured into my child, and she didn't go to Catholic schools or private schools. So she was in the public school system when I lived up in Rochester, New York. But, you know, even now we're back here, and she's back trying to pursue her education and while she's working. So, you know, it's not lost on the next generation if you have that motivation and encouragement and support.
You are back in New Haven. How was life for you through your education? I mean, because you seem to be involved in a lot of extracurricular activities. What was your first jobs like when you first got out of college and you were getting out there?
So, yeah, I started my first job back in, 1987, when I was hired to work at Xerox Corporation in Stanford. So I actually started there 3 weeks before I graduated from college. And I mean, I had no expectations. All I know is I wanted to work in accounting because that was my field. I started out in customer service. 3 months later, they were having issues in their finance department. And the vice president asked my manager, you know, we got to try to find somebody who knows something about numbers. And then my manager said, well, you know, Deb graduated with her accounting degree, right? So he said, no, I did not know that. Next thing I know, I'm pushed over to the finance department, and I've been working in some type of finance accounting position ever since. So 16 years corporate. Then I did, I think it was about 6 years, 5 or 6 years private. And then it was 20 years nonprofit. So, yeah, I've been working for about 38 years now.
Getting a taste of everything from corporate, private, and nonprofit, because it's a very distinct field, and sometimes it's difficult for an individual going out to navigate out of these three fields. What are some similarities and what are some distinctions?
The great part about working in any type of finance or accounting is no matter if it's corporate or private or nonprofit, the numbers are the numbers are the numbers. You can't change it. No matter how you try or how somebody tries, 2 plus 2 is going to be 4 every day, all the time. It doesn't make a difference. So you can't change that. What changes is the style of accounting that you might use, how you get to that number 4. It might actually be 1.5 plus 2.5, you know, nothing. But at the end, it's still the same result. So no matter what branch or field, corporate, nonprofit, private, it's just all about the different sources. Mm. But the end result is going to be the same.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, speaking with Deborah Bushwright, who's elated because the conversation is just going by.
Going by, and I'm trying not to choke.
But now you take these skills and you went from nonprofit. You do you're part of so many coalitions and committees, and I see you all around. What draws you to do community service? I mean, this is what it really is community service.
And that's one of the things I definitely got from my father. It's all about the give back. I've been blessed enough to have parents who poured into me, to have a church family that has poured into me. A biological sister that pours into me. I have best friends that are like sisters that pour into me. So you can't help but give back. Think about it. Eventually, everybody's like a cup. eventually that cup is going to fill and it's going to run over. It's going to overflow. What is it going to overflow into? So how are you going to put back in order to continue to be filled up? So that's how I decide, okay, it's time to put myself out there and help people. You know, I don't want to continue to climb and not reach back and bring somebody with me. Being at the top by yourself is no fun. You got to make sure you want somebody up there with you so that they can celebrate. You can celebrate together. So I'm part of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. I am part of Eureka Chapter Number 2, the Order of Eastern Stars. I am part of the Imperial Court, Arabic Court Number 95. I'm also a West Haven Police Commissioner. So it's, you know.
And aren't you part of like the Black Coalition?
So I was part of the Black Heritage, West Haven Black Heritage Group, NAACP, National MBA, Black MBA Association, just a couple organizations here and there. And Donate Life Connecticut, because I got involved with them after my kidney transplant.
Involved in so much. How important, I mean, there's young people out there that are trying to get involved. How important is it to have these, be associated with these networks?
I think one of the nice things that they do in school now is they kind of push our kids now to get involved. Now, the question is, what do you want to get involved with? And, you know, what are your interests? And, you know, they sit back and try to say, okay, I don't know where to go or what to do. And the first thing I tell anybody is find something that you're passionate about. If it's music, then look into the music stream. Look to someone like a Jose that is, you know, out there. You know, you have your name out there, that people that, you know, you want to mentor. And, you know, when you know that people want to, they're there for you, then yeah, go and make those connections. Or look into, you know, it's something small. You might like to draw. You know, because you're an introvert. I don't want to be around a whole bunch of people. I just like to sit here and draw my cartoons. And then the next thing you know, somebody's, you know, showing you about an art school that, you know, that has some type of after school program or something. And then you go get into that. It's, you know, it's one of those things where whatever it is that makes you happy, Google it. Find something, because there is something, some organization, some group or something out there that is doing what you like to do, hobbies, whatever.
You are so ready to accept a risk and a challenge, but it takes some confidence. And who is that? Is it mom, dad? Is it a combination of everybody?
Yeah, that's God. That is nothing but God. Instilled in me by my parents, absolutely. Because if you don't, who will? At the end of the day, I can do everything through Christ. Everything. So therefore, let's go. Put it out there. Let's go. Let's do it.
I mean, it's such an inspiration because you face every challenge with let's do it. There has been no hesitation at all.
I have moments. Now, I'm not going to sit back and say I don't. I have my moments, but it's at that point, you kind of just, for me, I take that deep breath. I take that moment to just say, you know, say that prayer. All right, Lord, if you're pulling me to it, you're going to get me through it. And pray, be with me, guide me, let's go. Mm. Everything ends with, let's go. I used to tell a friend of mine, for those that know me and that I'm really good friends with, if I am your friend, then you already know that I am on set. And a friend of mine said, what does that mean, you're on set? No, remember the three, ready, set, go. I am always on set. So when my friends call me, let's go.
I can see why you're such a valued member of all these organizations. Does your phone, how do you find a good balance of your time? Because, you know, it can be draining sometimes because everyone's pulling you, because I can see you're a giving person.
Yeah, it's the fortunate, unfortunate part. So getting into all of these organizations, took some doing. The balancing part can be a little crazy, but, you know, I realize and know now, because my health then became priority, and to this day, my health becomes priority. So I'm not as involved as I like to be now in some of my organizations, and I've had to kind of pull back, but I support as much as I can. So one of the things you have to always realize is after you put God first, you have to put yourself next. You have to prioritize yourself, prioritize your health. Because if you don't, there's going to be issues and problems. Mm. Then you can't help anybody else. Just like they say on the airplane, put your mask on before you put the mask on of the person next to you. Because if not, if something happens to you, you're no good to them. So I've now learned I have to take care of myself so I can continue to help take care of my family, my friends, and my enemies. You know, sometimes you have to take care of your enemies. Because how are they going to learn?
Profound words. We're in our last few minutes. We have more than enough time to you know, who would you like to thank? And but first, you know what? I always like to ask, what piece of advice would you give young Deborah that's out there in West Haven in the late 60s, early 70s, rambunctious? What little piece of advice would you give her?
Just hold on. Don't worry. You're going to make it. It's going to happen. That's the biggest thing. I think my biggest issue growing up was I was just always concerned. Oh my God, is it going to happen for me? Am I going to be able to do this? And I would be so worried, and I'd get myself all anxious and riled up. And then it was done. There's a gentleman at my church, one of our seniors, and one of his favorite sayings, and he would say it to me all the time, don't worry about it. This time tomorrow, it'll all be over. And it didn't mean a lot to me when I was younger, but the older I got, the more I would hear him say that. And even now, I have to get ready for big board meetings or big presentations or this interview. and I would get myself, you know, just built up. I'm like, okay, take a breather. And then I hear him say, this time tomorrow, it'll all be over. Oh, yeah, you're right. And then I just go on and do what I have to do. And, you know, whether it's singing with Courage of my community choir, my choir, I love my choir, or, you know, working at the community house, or just relaxing, which I try to find some room to do somehow, hopefully this weekend, since it's a holiday weekend, you know, just chill, just do what I gotta do.
With that said, any final thank yous or acknowledgments for the hundreds of people that you're involved with every day?
Okay. So let's see if I can do this without missing anybody. It's first, thank you, Jose. I appreciate you so much for thinking of me and bringing me on and allowing me this opportunity. It is not lost on me. So I thank you so much. Of course, I thank God because, you know, I couldn't do anything without him. I could not be where I am. I'm getting ready to be 60 years old this year. And that is nothing but God with everything I've been through. My family, who they are my rock, my mother Janie, my sister Gwendolyn, and her husband Marvin, my daughter Jasmine, and her husband Deshaun, my nephew Blake, And, you know, that's, we are such a close knit family. And, it, you know, like I said, they are my rock, my Bethel AME family, my sorority, Zeta Phi Beta, the daughters, the Eastern Stars, my brothers of Phi Beta Sigma, my Masonic family, the Donate Life Connecticut family. I'm going to miss somebody. I know I am. But yeah, it's the West Haven Police Department, because that's my other family since I'm a commissioner there. So yeah, it's anybody who has poured into me and I've been able to pour into them, I thank them because they have made me a part of who I am today. Mm.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. We just heard the insightful, delightful, very fulfilling, and I'm so appreciative, the words of Deborah Bush Wright. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. You know I forgot something, right?
Okay, go ahead. we got a couple of seconds. Go ahead.
Well, you know, because I don't do enough, so now I've become an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And because, you know, with everything that's going on right now with these times, and you can't do anything without, you know, streams of income and whatever. Yeah. So I'm just trying to do whatever I can to get that next stream of income. And
Here's your pitch.
Business partners. So therefore, if people are looking to find new streams of income, contact me.
Okay.
And I'll get you connected.
What's your number?
203-537-8676. Text me.
All right. If you're looking for opportunity out there, Deborah Bushwright, thank you so much for your time. And for my general audience, like always, thank you for listening. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City in the Community, 24/7, 365.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.